Welcome back to Channel 9 Live. I'm Robert Hess, and my guest right now is Scott Guthrie. And he probably needs no introduction beyond that. Him and his red shirt are infamous the developer world over. Now, Scott, you just got through doing the keynote, presenting a lot of great things there. The main topic, I'm assuming, from watching was, what, Silverlight? Is that it? Is that right about you think?
We'll cover a little bit of Silverlight in there.
So, what do you think some of the key things that you announced today regarding Silverlight was in the keynote?
Hopefully people saw there's a whole bunch of features coming as part of the Silverlight 4 release. And so obviously the big news of the day was the fact that Silverlight 4 beta is now available for download. I think the big thing hopefully that people took away was sort of the pace at which we're moving with Silverlight and some of the cool things that are now enabled with it. We focused a lot and did some demos on media, which isn't sort of exactly the PDC crowd, but showed off some of the new webcam microphone support. It seemed to go over pretty well. Mm-hmm.
And that's all about allowing that the Silverlight, which in the past has been this little box you're running inside of, mm-hmm. to now actually reach outside of that box and include the microphone or whatever else is on the system.
Yeah, things like drop target support, so you can drag and drop files from the file system, or printing support, or right-click context menu support, or mouse wheel support, or BiDi, or right-to-left controls. All those things, are running inside, the browser or in a sandboxed app. And we also then talked about kind of how we're now enabling with Silverlight 4 the ability to go outside the sandbox and build kind of what we call trusted applications. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you can read and write to the file system now. You can access any network address, you can host HTML, and actually get raw access to your hardware. And then we also showed how you can actually, light up, for example, if there's comm support on the system, you can call any comm object, which, means that you can suddenly integrate with Office and Windows and a variety of things in interesting ways. So mm-hmm. Hopefully people saw an awful lot of stuff, and people seemed pretty happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, the Twitter feed is just lighting up, it looks like. As soon as you sat down, we got a ton of questions. If anybody does want to take and tweet us, although I don't think we probably need any more than we're getting, be sure to take and tweet us at CH9Live, and we'll take and get those questions. And if any of you guys are here actually at the PDC, make sure you come down. You can get a nice little t-shirt like I have. We'll make sure that Scott gets one. So it does be wearing that red shirt all day long, perhaps. Let's jump to our Twitter feed and see a question here. We have Jay Mondia says, will Opera be officially supported when Silverlight 4 is released?
It's a good question. Opera support does kind of work today with Silverlight. And in the keynote today, we kind of announced that we're officially supporting Google Chrome. And what kind of official support basically means is, we basically do proactive testing before any of those releases happen. So we're on the betas, we work directly with those teams, and basically are committed to immediate bug fixes if anything happens. And so today we support IE, Firefox, Safari, Chrome, now in that kind of official capacity. With Opera, we're basically doing work to make sure it works, but we don't have quite the same kind of SLA agreement in terms of immediate turnaround. So we are doing work to make sure it works with Opera. But it's not on our quote-unquote official supported list. And right now, basically, the way our official supported list is we look at browser share, and anything above about 1%, 1.5% is kind of the point at which we make it official. That's partly why we added Google Chrome. Mm-hmm. Right now, Opera's not quite at that point worldwide, and so it's something we'll look at in the future. But we are making sure it works. It's just not kind of quite on that official list.
I mean, the big challenge there is, it's not that a browser is a browser is a browser. I mean, all these browsers are slightly different. They're entirely different code base they're using for the most part in doing their rendering and stuff like that. And you've got to take and make sure that the way you're supporting rendering Silverlight within the concept of a browser framework works the same in all these different systems. And that's pretty tough.
It's tough. I mean, a lot of browsers share like the InSAPI API for how you plug in. And the API is the same, but there are very, very subtle differences in every browser. In terms of how memory management works, in terms of networking support, in terms of
event ordering and stuff like that.
Event ordering, right? So different browsers change between different versions too. So for each of those official supported browsers, we support about three or four versions of them. And it is tricky. I mean, thankfully, we have a really good relationship with all the different browser manufacturers. Mm-hmm. Firefox, Mozilla team has been great. Apple with Safari has been great. And so they'll give us heads up, hey, we have a new build coming out. And if we find an issue, we send it to them. They're very responsive. So it's a lot of people probably assume like, hey, how well does everyone get along? We actually get along really well. But at the same time, there's a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we got another question here, especially since we're talking about the greater hardware support that we're getting now with Silverlight 4. Any multi-core parallel extension API in Silverlight 4.0? And this comes from Joyjack.
We have threading support inside Silverlight 4, and we've actually had that since Silverlight 2. And we do have a bunch of features that we're adding in that will enable better multi-core support in the future. We're not right now, I don't believe, we probably won't have the multi-core extensions working immediately. Although I should follow up, there's a chance they might just work. it is something that we're looking at kind of for the future. Silverlight itself is multi-core enabled. And so our software rasterizer, for example, does actually partition across multiple cores today. Mm-hmm. So you do actually get a lot of multi-core support for free on a graphics perspective. And obviously you can use threading. And I'll need to follow up on the parallel extensions for .NET. They might just work, yeah. But
to allow an application itself to decide to spin itself off into a multi-core environment, there's a little bit more involved.
A little bit. I mean, so the way our threading model works is, as you have more physical threads, we will schedule them across multiple cores. So you can do multi-core operations. I think the specific question is around the new .NET 4 parallel extensions,
yeah.
Which give you kind of a really nice way to use kind of like link and automatically get parallelization. That part, it might work. If we go off stage, I gotta
pull your laptop
fire up BS and we'll actually see if we can make that work. But it might work, yeah.
So here's one from webdev_HB. Scott, will Silverlight 4 have any screen capturing abilities?
We do have the ability that you can take any control or any canvas object or pretty much any object in a frame. And you can basically capture it to a bitmap. So we do have that support today.
So you can capture yourself.
You can capture
and
yourself.
The things within you.
Correct. Yeah, you can't capture anything else on the desktop, but you can capture yourself and the things within you. We don't have automatic kind of like Camtasia video support, so that you can actually capture a video automatically. You can do multiple bitmaps in terms of simulate it, but we don't actually have kind of built-in capture everything there. With webcam, as I sort of showed in the demo today, you can actually take the input and actually stream that together and actually play back a video and or encode it. So you can do that as well. Mm-hmm. But if you were trying to use it for example, like creating your own training video, we don't have a built-in API to do exactly that, but you can certainly take static screenshots at any point.
It strikes me, if you can take video in there, does that mean maybe you could like write a driver that is emulating a video input and actually taking the hardware video and encoding that, and as far as you're concerned, it's just a camera, but it still is, well, probably getting too far deep there.
Yeah, you might be able to do some of this stuff with the COM interop to do things like that. My expectation is, we'll find even over the next couple of days or weeks that a lot of people are going to be doing things that we didn't even think you could do. We're very careful around the security aspect, so there's a lot of things you can't do, but once you're in that trusted mode, there's an awful lot of power there that you can tap, and I think we're going to see some cool demos of stuff we didn't even think of show up shortly.
Yeah. So Colonizer asks, what hardware acceleration will Silverlight 4 have, and what about true 3D model support in release candidate?
So we do have hardware acceleration support today with Silverlight. We use OpenGL on the Mac. We use DirectX on Windows. You're going to see with the release candidate a little bit more hardware acceleration, and I'll save some of that for Mix. But you'll see.
Remember that. Come to Mix, and you'll find out more.
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit more hardware acceleration that we're adding. We won't have a true 3D mesh API in Silverlight 4. It's something we're thinking about for future releases. But we'll obviously continue to support Perspective 3D, mm-hmm. And we'll support hardware acceleration of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were talking about, in an earlier show, talking about the whole 3D support and commenting that, since you have access to the bitmap plane, you can actually take the time to write your own 3D rendering capabilities, just like the game developer's been doing for years and years and years until Direct3D came out.
Yeah. It turns out like one of the challenges with 3D and hardware acceleration in general, this is another one of those In theory, there's an API to do it. It's just the diversity of the different graphics drivers out there. You know, getting hardware acceleration to work, the first 80% is actually really easy. That last 20% of like testing every single driver out there. You know, we've got kind of weird stories of hardware configurations that, according to the manufacturers, have never ever shipped. So it's kind of like these sort of mysterious graphics cards that maybe fell off a shelf somewhere off of a plant that like never were released, and yet they're out there. And you know, the challenge with hardware acceleration is as soon as you actually drive down to the hardware, you are at the mercy of the driver in certain situations. So we have a whole bunch of logic inside Silverlight so that we can detect if it's a bad driver or a bad card. Bad not meaning there's a bug in it, but you know, it was just not a great GPU, yeah, that we can actually fall back to software and have that be seamless. And so that's another one of those spaces where there's a lot of work under the covers to make everything seamless.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question from AL3891. And I speak from everybody in your keynote today. You mentioned how that with Silverlight 4, there is no recompile necessary between a .NET yep. application and Silverlight application. AL asked, please talk more about the Silverlight .NET 4 compat story. I thought you said no recompile was needed. I'm assuming what they're saying is we've kind of mentioned that, with .NET 4, you have this whole multi-core capability that maybe Silverlight doesn't support. So doesn't that mean that there is a recompile issue?
No. So basically the way it works is any of the APIs that are built into Silverlight, you can use in both Silverlight and .NET 4. So you can basically now build an assembly. You do need to target the subset, in which case it'll work in the superset, which is .NET. Right. So the nice thing is, for example, business logic validation rules in particular, you can now create a Silverlight, for example, class library project, write any standard thing you want in there, compile it as a DLL assembly, and you can use that in ASP.NET, you can use it in WPF, you can use that in Silverlight. Mm-hmm. So that assembly transparency is a new feature. It's both kind of a Silverlight 4 feature, but it's also really kind of a .NET 4 feature because we actually changed the loader in .NET to support the Silverlight key signature on assemblies.
Okay. So the key thing there is that you don't develop a .NET 4 application and expect it to compile for Silverlight.
Yeah.
You write a Silverlight application and it will just work on .NET 4.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, basically, anytime you're doing kind of a sharing across two systems, you do need to write to the subset. If you write to a superset API, it won't work in the subset, but the inverse will work.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And one of the things that we are doing, and there are a few cases in the beta that we released today that we caught late, where there's a slight different, API was in one assembly instead of another. So we are doing work, and you'll see this, for the final Silverlight 4 release, where there's a few cases like the assembly where we put the common automation create object method. There's a few other subtle cases where we think we put it in the wrong namespace, and for future releases, And so anyway, we're moving a few things around in order to make sure that we keep the APIs totally consistent as well. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now here's a question from CL Brandsma, or whatever. Does Silverlight support Chromeless out of browser?
Yeah, so that was one of the features that I talked a little bit about in the keynote today that we're adding with Silverlight 4. Silverlight 3 does not support that yet, but for Silverlight 4, when you're running as a trusted application, we'll support Chromeless out-of-browser applications. What that means is you can get rid of the standard title bar and put whatever you want within it, so you can do complete custom drawing, custom shaping of everything. And then also we're adding windowing APIs to Silverlight 4, so that when someone clicks on it and drags it, you can actually move the window around or maximize resize.
I guess a question that comes to me is, why does removing the Chrome require trusted application mode?
Yeah, it's a good question. That feature only works in trusted application mode. And the main reason is, one of the challenges that we kind of have as you're adding this sort of richness is, how do you kind of avoid security issues? And so if you're running the sandbox mode, because we now have full rich graphics support, you could, for example, spoof the login form of Windows or the Mac. You could, simulate a browser and have someone log into their real Facebook account and get access to their password. And so, the reason for the sandbox is it's a little bit harder to spoof kind of core operating system features from a security perspective. Once you're running trusted, then we kind of assume the user has actually given permission to run trusted. At which point, you can draw anything.
So I guess the idea is like it's one thing to take and be, you know, pretending you're a microphone, but if there's someone saying this guy's pretending to be a microphone by us throwing the chrome around him, that's
one of the reasons also, like when you're running sandbox mode or when you're running within the browser and you go full screen, we don't allow you to use every single keyboard key. We have a set of keyboard keys that, you know, specifically for games that we allow and whitelist. Everything else we disallow. And that's again mainly so that you can't just display a login form and try to capture someone's password. So they're, you know, we've tried to be very careful around security with Silverlight, and you know, so that's one of the reasons why sometimes people say, oh, I wish I could directly access the hardware when I'm running in the browser. It would be a cool developer feature, but we got to make sure from a security perspective we keep everything secure.
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking. We have to, you know, take that level of effort to beat that security. Like that, there's people out there that would take advantage. It's like, yeah, let's just not go there.
One of the things that's helped us with Silverlight is, I mean, we started the Silverlight project pretty much 3 years ago. 3 years ago, like 2 weeks ago, was when we basically kind of formed the team. And one of the things that has helped us with Silverlight has been, we've got a lot of credit for our security status. You know, has been, it's a new code base, and so we're able to actually learn from, you know, all of the security knowledge we've learned on the internet the last 15 years. And so, you know, that's part of the reason why certain things work the way to do is we've kind of learned, sometimes the hard way, what you know, can and you know, can't get you in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question from Larry Law. Can you chat via Silverlight in HD using the Microsoft Live Cam?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, so the Microsoft Live Cam, any web camera supported with Silverlight, or any web camera that's recognized by either Windows or the Mac is supported. And so you can definitely use the Live Cam. You can definitely use the built-in webcams that are in Windows devices. You can use all the Mac built-in webcams as well. You know, one of the things that we certainly support is the ability to capture the video and play it back, like I showed today in the keynote. When you wanted to start doing kind of like video on demand, or not video, voice over IP, sort of like the Skype scenario, you can certainly do video camera going back and forth. There are a bunch of subtleties in terms of how you deliver real-time chatting that, you know, it's possible to do in Silverlight, but we don't have built-in real-time encoding support. And so, you know, it's possible, but you have the right code to try to do something like that. And there's, you know, just a bunch of subtleties in terms of, you know, Skype is a pretty amazing piece of software. You know, they had to add a bunch of support there to make sure that they handle when the network goes down and things like that. But certainly in terms of capturing video and doing some type of video conferencing, you certainly could do with Silverlight.
Okay. Here's a question, the Windows 7 question. I'm not sure if we can answer that here, but powered by alt.net, is there any way to emulate multi-touch in Windows 7 with two pointing devices?
Well, the good news is actually you can, with both Silverlight 3 and Silverlight 4, we do support multi-touch on Windows 7. And that does include multiple input points, both for multi-touch as well as two separate locations on the screen. So yeah, you can do that today.
Yep. Okay.
Maybe the last one there, the Brooklyn?
Okay, here's one from Brooklyn Dev. Can you talk about the Silverlight 4 trusted application support for Mac OS? I think it's a good question. I mean, we talk about trusted application support mostly for Windows that we're referring to, but the Macintosh has basically the same issues as well. We want to make sure that people can trust the applications and that we, as a Silverlight 4 application, can access the keyboard, the cameras, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, you know, the Makino I demoed, I think all the demos I actually did on the PC were with Windows, but the out-of-browser support, all the features I demoed, with the exception of some of the Office integration, that will work on the Mac as well. And so you can definitely build trusted applications for the Mac using Silverlight 4. You have file system access, full system keyboard access, cross-domain sockets, drag-drop from the desktop, webcam, microphone, printing. You know, the only feature you don't have that I listed today is COM support. Probably because COM doesn't exist on the Mac, but full trusted apps work on the Mac too.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, with the taking over the Chrome within a Silverlight application would also require you to be thinking, okay, am I running on a Mac? I'm running Windows, so the Chrome you display is one that the user of those systems is used to. Since we do have different controls around our Chrome between Windows,
yeah, you can.
And
I mean, I think for the Facebook app that we showed today, that probably would look good on both the Mac and Windows. But if you wanted to, you could change the minimize maximize to emulate the Mac as well, and then use the Windows semantic. So you have that option, or you can just make it look consistent throughout. The other thing I was going to mention is even the HTML hosting stuff. I think that got a lot of applause today, like the Rick Roll video with the jigsaw puzzle. And then also, you know, Brian showed in his Facebook app hosting YouTube directly within a Facebook page. That also will work on the Mac. We actually use WebKit on the Mac for the HTML browser control. Mm-hmm. And we use IE on Windows. So pretty much all the demos you saw will work on the Mac too.
Okay. Here's a good question from Athman20. Can the regular Blend 3 work with Silverlight, I'm assuming Silverlight 4, or do I have to download the trial one so I can benefit from Silverlight? So, I mean, from a developer's perspective, what tools are you going to use for developing Silverlight 4 applications? Yeah.
So Silverlight 4, if you include the SDK, provides an add-on to Visual Studio 2010, which will update the Beta 2 release of VS 2010 to support Silverlight 4 in addition to Silverlight 3. On the Blend side, we have a download trial edition of Blend, I think it's Blend 3 for .NET 4 support. You'll want to use that in order to target Silverlight 4. That release will also give you WPF 4 support inside Expression Blend as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you got to be kind of, you know, pushing the envelope both on what you're developing for is what you're developing on in order to get access. So I'm assuming Visual Studio 2008 doesn't work with Silverlight 4?
We don't have, for Silverlight 4, since it's going to come out around the same time frame as VS 2010, and there's a whole bunch of features that people have asked for, especially around the WYSIWYG Interactive Designer and IntelliSense support. We're basically using VS 2010 to target Silverlight 4. Mm-hmm. That will work with the Visual Web Developer Express 2010 as well, which is free. So you don't have to upgrade or pay. And if you're in the Website Spark program, and so if you go to websitespark.com, you can join. That actually will give you three copies of Visual Studio, copy of Expression Studio, two copies of Expression Web, four copies of Windows Server, four copies of SQL. So everything you need, and that includes both 2008 and 2010 support, if you want free tooling as well. And so if you build web apps on behalf of others, whether they're ASP.NET, Silverlight, SharePoint, what have you, you can join that program and get access to the tools for free as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you need an access code, send me an email and I'll give you a code.
Let's go. Palangeberg asks, will trusted apps be allowed to remain full screen when watching video on a separate screen?
So the question is, will trusted apps be allowed to remain full screen when watching video on a separate screen? Yep, with the final release of Silverlight 4, that'll be supported. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's in the beta yet or not, but with the final release, that will be supported.
Mm-hmm. Now, with Silverlight 4, I mean, are you seeing new classes of applications possibly coming out for it, or are you already taking and planning for the new style of application that's specifically taking advantage of some of the SL4 features?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see a couple things. One is, certainly for there's a broad range of business applications that, you know, some of the features that we needed, like printing, rich text, BiDi, right-click context menu, and probably mouse wheel support, those are probably the big ones that we heard from people, that they said, like, hey, that's really what I need in order to build my business apps. Now that Silverlight 4 has all those features, I think you'll see a lot more business apps built with Silverlight. And then, obviously, I think the trusted application and the extended support for out-of-browser applications, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of apps, kind of like we showed today with Facebook, where people are going to end up building companion apps to websites and you know, be able to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, here's a question from Azithraj. Probably should have asked my previous talk, where I was talking with Kurt DelVaney about SharePoint. Mm-hmm. Will SharePoint have Silverlight interface in SharePoint 2010?
There is, the core interface of SharePoint is still HTML, but there is actually a built-in Silverlight web part in 2010. That makes it really easy to host Silverlight. And all of the SharePoint lists in 2010 can be exposed using this OData protocol, which Silverlight natively supports as well. So it will definitely be easy. And kind of Derek did a great demo today in Kurt's keynote, showing off kind of how to integrate Silverlight and do some pretty cool scenarios with SharePoint. So definitely you'll see Silverlight and SharePoint integration continue to improve going forward.
So it's not so much the SharePoint itself is going to have a Silverlight interface, but developers of SharePoint applications can develop SharePoint components or web parts that they take and then stick into it.
Exactly.
As well as with the OData, they could even take and create raw Silverlight applications that are calling into the SharePoint data stream in order to get information out of it, displayed whatever way they want to.
Yep. And we also, inside ASP.NET and ASP.NET Ajax, also have a JavaScript API for calling OData streams as well. And so, you know, a nice thing is you can use .NET on the server with SharePoint and ASP.NET. You can also use Silverlight as well as ASP.NET Ajax on the client, and you know, Axe is everything.
So here's a question here. The Olafurh, I'm not sure, these Olafurh, how are you going to pronounce it? Can't people just have regular names on Twitter? I don't know what it is. What about various playback speeds and Silverlight video playback? So recorded videos may play back at 1.5 or 2 times speed, as if someone's just taking, like, you know, speed up you and I talking. They want to hear everything we have to say, I would think.
We call it trick play. And where it's really useful is, like, I usually find for compliance video, training compliance videos at work, it's really nice to have trick play because you can actually get through them twice as fast. We don't have built-in client support for trick play. It's something that you know, we're thinking about for the future. What we do have, though, is with the Media Foundation framework, our Silverlight Media framework that we shipped, you know, one of the things that we've done with a lot of sporting events, Sunday Night Football does this today, the Olympics does it, and you'll probably see every Silverlight sporting app do it in the future. We do actually have multiple speeds that you can do, and the user can basically fast forward and rewind, as well as do slow motion. And so that support is provided with Silverlight and the IS Media services. So you do write a little bit of code to enable it, but you can do a lot of that for, you know, live events in particular is pretty useful.
I mean, we saw that in the NBC Olympics demo that you did on stage. Where
everyone in the U.S. will have saw it in the Olympics demo. Unfortunately, because the Olympics, the IOC owns the display rights, people watching outside the U.S. probably saw something that said, sorry, you can't actually show it.
Actually, anybody watching outside the PDC saw that because we couldn't split the streams.
Yeah.
People watching on the web didn't see the NBC Olympics demo, which we wish we could have showed you.
Yeah.
But the whole concept was you had a video stream playing. It was playing. It could be either live or pre-recorded, and you had a little tiny slider bar in the bottom.
Yeah, and you could basically speed up and slow down. And what's nice is, you know, it turns out to be really hard to do, but the fast forward rewind, you can actually see the fast forward rewind video as you're doing that, and you can even do multiple speeds. You can do, like, we supported in the Olympics app, I think we support 2x, 4x, 8x, and we have a little slider, and depending on how far either direction you slide it will vary the speed. So it's a nice effect, and the Silverlight media framework, or SMURF framework, that's now on Codeplex with full source code supports that.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question from Adity of another weird name I can't read, not even going to try. Does Silverlight 4 support wireless webcam?
Yep, as long as your webcam is recognized by either Windows or the Mac, you know, so if you have a wireless webcam driver that you plug into your system, Silverlight will support it.
Webcam is a webcam.
Webcam is a webcam. Well, turns out there are actually some subtleties in webcam in terms of how they do RGB versus other colors, but yeah, this should just be a webcam as a webcam.
Here's from Kevin Dente. Finally, someone with a name I can actually pronounce. Does Silverlight 4 support any additional image formats, TIFF in particular, and can we write our own decoder?
Yeah, the image formats is an interesting one. We've kind of debated on Silverlight how many built-in decoders do we put in the box. Challenge is each decoder increases the download size. So we don't have TIFF support built into the box. But one of the things we did actually with Silverlight 3, so you can take advantage of this even with Silverlight 3 today, is support pluggable decoders, both for video as well as for any image. And so you can absolutely plug in a TIFF decoder into your app and redist it as part of your app and use it even with the standard image control that we have in Silverlight. So yes, you can do that, but you'll need to embed the TIFF encoder as part of your app.
So if the assets you wanted to use in your application were of a particular image format, even a proprietary image format, you could then take and write a decoder so it'd be automatically transferred through with the Silverlight application.
Correct, yeah. We also did in Silverlight 4, I didn't talk about it in the keynote, but we did add richer support for PNGs. There's a few kind of really custom bitrate scenarios with PNG files and JPEGs that we now support with Silverlight 4 as well. But in general, for TIFF, I'd recommend basically encoding your own decoder, or shipping your own decoder as part of your app.
Okay. Now, here's a question I know you're not going to answer. Linasar asks, when will Silverlight 4 release to manufacture? Even though we don't do RTM on Silverlight 4, but...
Yeah. The final release of Silverlight will ship the first half of next calendar year. We do have a date in mind.
But you're not going to tell it.
Let's make sure, you know, a lot of it's getting feedback on the beta, getting feedback on the release candidate, making sure we ship the right thing.
Right.
But we are basically, we'll ship the first half of next year with high confidence.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. And Joan Linford's asked, how much are you looking forward to visiting Sweden December 2nd? I have no idea what that means.
I got a blog about it with all the details, but I'm actually doing a trip to Europe the first week of December. And so I'm going to Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Belgium. And then I think I'm going to Paris, in France, obviously, the following week. And so I'm really looking forward to it. I've never been to Norway or Sweden before. I've been to Denmark and Belgium a few times, but I'm definitely looking forward to Sweden and Norway. Unfortunately, I'm only spending a day in each country, but definitely looking forward to being able to visit there the first time.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Got some lutefisk while you're over there, right?
Yes.
I mean, the thing I always hate is people always have this thing about lutefisk, and it's really a good product when it's done properly. It's that the people that are complaining about just haven't had good lutefisk. So make sure you have some good lutefisk while you're there.
I was in Finland a couple of years, and I got this drink. I still don't know what it was. It was in this wooden bowl, and I tell you, it was the best drink I've ever had. And so if anyone knows what it is, send me mail, because I want another one. But so I'm looking forward to Sweden and Norway as well. Hopefully get some good food and drink as well.
I think we have time for one last question here. Architect for Web asks, what kind of support do you have in Visual Studio 2010 to address different versions of Silverlight? So I'm guessing you have Visual Studio 2010 you're using, and you want to develop for Silverlight 2, 3, and 4 in the future. Is that possible?
One of the things that we've done with Silverlight 4 in general is, or with Visual Studio 2010 in general, is support this thing we call multi-targeting, so that you can target multiple versions of the .NET framework. And I did a blog post on this, I think in either beginning of September or end of August, that talks a little bit about multi-targeting. We did multi-targeting in 2008, but 2010 is much, much more robust. And what's nice is we actually use this for both full .NET apps as well as Silverlight apps. And so when you install the Silverlight 4 SDK on a VS 2010 box, you'll see in the drop-down, you can pick, do I want to target Silverlight 3 or Silverlight 4? And we'll give you full IntelliSense and designer support based on whatever version you're targeting.
Okay.
So yeah, full support built in.
Well, thanks. Well, I'm Robert Hess. And?
I'm Scott Guthrie.
Hope you enjoyed Channel 9 Live. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a bunch.